Good morning. It is time to get up with words I've waited 119 days to say. Play ball. Baseball is back. I'll tell you why it might really be better than ever. Plus, they put together a list of the best and they left who off it? It can't be. But it is. We've got all the reaction. And then, the latest Cowboys controversy can be answered with one simple question. The answers will decide everything, and they're coming up in this hour as we get up with you bright and early, starting right now. And this, my friends, is the room where it happens. Major League Baseball's opening day, 119 days after it was originally scheduled, comes your way tonight with a doubleheader. On ESPN, it will begin with the Yankees and the Nationals right there in our nation's capital. I'm Mike Greenberg in Bristol, delighted you've chosen to get up with us. And according to the Elias Sports Bureau, this is the first time in 100 years we have gone this long. It has been since March 11th, 133 days, since any of the major sports had a competition in this country. We've waited a long time for it, and tonight it is back. Let's get to it. Baseball tonight, and as I mentioned, you will see the defending champion Nationals opening the baseball season against the Yankees. And what a pitcher's duel this has the potential to be. You will see Max Scherzer facing the newest Yankees ace in Gerrit Cole. So that's the opener. And then the nightcap tonight, equally good. Dodgers hosting the Giants. Dodgers and Yankees are plus 350 co-favorites to win the World Series. So you will see what most people think are the two best teams in baseball tonight. And speaking of the Dodgers, they made a little transaction yesterday, giving Mookie Betts a 12-year, $365 million extension. His total contract value is now the second largest in baseball history. Just how good is Mookie Betts? Well, glad you asked. Look at the company he keeps. On a per-game basis, he's the seventh best player of all time, ahead of Willie Mays and just behind Lou Gehrig. So the numbers are extraordinary. Mark Teixeira is here. We'll get to Betts in a second, but let's just start with this, Tex, because as I said, we've waited 119 extra days for this. What does opening day 2020 mean to you?
This is a huge day for all of sports, Major League Baseball, the players, the fans. I'm so excited about today because, you know, we talked about it a lot this offseason and through the spring greenie. We didn't know if baseball was going to be played. And the fact that the players and owners finally got together, that we're going to play baseball tonight, is so special for this country because a lot of people use opening day in April as a time to, you know, get excited about their year. It's been a cold winter. It's maybe been a little bit depressing, especially if you live in the Northeast like I do. But it's been depressing for a different reason now, Greeny. And I think our entire country and baseball fans all over the world are really excited about tonight.
Yeah, let's hope. And let's hope that it is the beginning of more good things to come. Meanwhile, I mentioned we've got the Yankees and the Dodgers in separate games in a doubleheader tonight, and they are the Vegas co-favorites this year. For those who haven't seen it, what is your World Series prediction at the end of this unprecedented sprint of a baseball season?
Well, Greeny, everyone's talking about the Yankees and Dodgers, and look at their rosters and their stars, and the Yankees got Gerrit Cole this offseason, and the Dodgers got Betts. So I'm going Yankees and Dodgers. They're just so stacked, Greeny. And in a sprint with 60 games, I'm not sure what's going to happen. There's a lot of crazy things that could happen in 2020. But I look at those two teams on paper, you have to say they're the World Series favorites.
All right, and you mentioned Betts here. Let's get back to him. I don't know that anyone was really expecting on the day before this season began for Mookie Betts to sign a $365 million contract extension. What was your reaction?
First of all, good for Mookie Betts. He's one of the top players in the game, a historically great player, and he's getting to play for the LA Dodgers, one of the top teams, one of the top franchises in all of baseball. And so, man, good for Mookie Betts. And I think a lot of fans are going to say, oh, well, look, you know, baseball's going to be fine. Players are getting paid. But if you really look at why the players were so upset this offseason and through all these negotiations with the owners is that salaries have not been, you know, really increasing with the state of play in Major League Baseball. You look at revenues have pretty much tripled since Alex Rodriguez's huge contract 20 years ago. Franchise values are up 7x in the last 20 years. But yet our top players are still just kind of making around the same they've been making for decades. So Mookie Betts got a great contract, but I think what you've seen is a lot of teams are spreading these deals out. Mookie's got 12 years, right? They're spreading these deals out to stay under the luxury tax. This luxury tax is a problem for Major League Baseball players. And Mookie got his, but a lot of players won't get theirs this offseason.
All right, that's a different conversation for a different day. For today, we'll just be excited that they're coming back to play, and we will check in with you tomorrow morning, Mark, as we will actually have Major League Baseball highlights to be looking at. And speaking of highlights, look what I've got here. I've got actual NBA players playing actual NBA games last night. We're a week from the regular season openers, but they tipped off in the bubble last night with the Clippers and the Magic playing in a scrimmage. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George both played 19 minutes each in the scrimmage. George led the way with 18 points. Clippers won 99-90. Look how cool the court looks. Here come the Nuggets experimenting, starting five bigs with Nikola Jokic at the point. It was 2019 second round pick Bol Bol who stole the show in a win over the Wizards. In his NBA debut, he had 16 points, 10 boards, and 6 blocks. So that was fun to watch. And then there's Zion. He may be away from the Pelicans, but the team didn't miss a beat in their first scrimmage without him. They blasted the injury-depleted and otherwise depleted Nets 99-68. Brandon Ingram, one of 5 Pelicans in double figures, 12 points in 11 minutes of action. And if you're interested in the NBA, we will have Jalen and Rachel coming up a little bit later. First names only for people of their stature. And they will be along late in our program this morning with a look at the NBA a week before the season starts, what to expect from Zion, who to expect to win, and a whole lot more. That's coming up later this morning here on Get Up. Meanwhile, CNN, as you've probably heard, is reporting that Woody Johnson, who is the owner of the New York Jets, is subject to State Department investigations following allegations that he made racist and sexist comments while serving as ambassador to the United Kingdom, and that he sought to have the Open Championship played at a resort owned by President Trump. The president has denied these allegations. An NFL spokesman said the league is aware of the CNN report and referred questions to the State Department. As far as Woody Johnson himself, he posted this on Twitter yesterday, quote, "I have followed the ethical rules and requirements of my office at all times. These false claims of insensitive remarks about race and gender are totally inconsistent with my longstanding record and values." Maybe the best of all of the players on the Jets is Jamal Adams. He reacted on Twitter, and you see it there. "We need the right people at the top. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. If you don't think this is wrong, you're part of the problem, not the solution." So a lot there to unpack. Let's get our football conversation started. Our insider, Dan Graziano, was here in the Big Swagoo. Marcus Spears as well. But Dan, I will start with you. What can you tell us about the reaction from the league yesterday and anything else you heard about the story involving Woody Johnson?
Yeah, Greeny, when you look at the way the league handles investigations into these matters, the first thing they always do is they defer to whatever the law enforcement entity in question is, right? If someone gets in trouble with the police, a player, a team employee, an owner, the league will first let that process play out with regard to local law enforcement. Now we're talking about the U.S. State Department, and obviously, according to their statement, the league is going to wait and see what the U.S. State Department does before deciding whether to take any league action against a team owner. It's a tricky spot, obviously, for Commissioner Roger Goodell. He works for the owners. And we've seen in some recent years owners getting in some degree of trouble here and there, and some discussion that we've all had, obviously, about whether the league's gone far enough or as far as it would have gone with players in similar situations. So right now, early in this, the league's finding out about it. Will there be an investigation, a league investigation into Woody Johnson's behavior at some point? It's entirely possible, but I don't think we're at the point yet where the NFL office knows that for sure.
And Marcus, through the eyes of an NFL player, and in particular, as we see the reaction of maybe the highest profile of the New York Jets and Jamal Adams yesterday, what did you see in this yesterday?
I mean, if it's true, G, I'm assuming that it'll try to be a mass exodus of players or either try to get Woody Johnson out of there. And I know that those are extremes, but that is the high emotional value that we have right now, especially for stuff like this. And then Woody Johnson's apology, I didn't think it needed to be said all of that. If you didn't say it, just say, I didn't make these remarks and the truth will come to the light. All of these eloquent apologies and trying to say things so everybody will understand, it is what it is, man. When you think about the climate of what's going on right now, a lot of these things are going to come out. And I'm not saying if it's true or not true, I don't know that. But a lot of things, if things like this happened in the past, a lot of people are feeling like they need to expose these things. So I'll be interested to see how this plays out. I'm not sure if you can prove Woody Johnson said anything if you don't have it on tape or if you don't have some type of video to go along with it. But I'm sure it'll be, I'm gonna put it like this. It's players, you saw Jamal Adams tweet, but it's players in the Jets organization right now that believe this, probably. And it's players that either want to hear a statement from Woody Johnson, want to find out if it's true, or they want to get out of there or get him out of there. That's where we are now. So I'll be interested, very interested, to see how this plays out. But in me and what I'm thinking, I don't know if anything is going to come of it, because if you don't have proof or video evidence, like I said, it's he say, she say, and that won't stand up when you're trying to make a judgment.
Well, we'll see. So to be clear, a couple of different things here. The statement that Woody Johnson released, which I read a moment ago, there is no apology in it whatsoever. There is a very simple, there's a very simple denial, if you will, of any wrongdoing here, and a suggestion that his record suggests otherwise. Dan Graziano, what I would say about this, a lot of people were reacting to this and asking me questions yesterday, could this be another Donald Sterling situation? And of course, it's far too early in the process to know if it will get anywhere near that. But what I would say, Dan, is that that became what it became because of the reaction of players. And that's where this will come from, right, Dan? And I think in our experience, it will be the players who will drive the reaction to this first and maybe foremost.
Yeah, obviously, Donald Sterling, there was an audio recording. Everybody heard what he said. And obviously, the reaction to that, understandable, and end up forcing him to sell the Los Angeles Clippers. In terms of NFL, you know, roughly similar situations, and please, I'm not trying to equate any situation to any other, but this reminds me of a couple. One, Jerry Richardson, a former owner of the Carolina Panthers, an investigation in Sports Illustrated found that he was guilty of, you know, making remarks around the team facility to team employees. He ends up selling the Panthers. Bob McNair, the late Bob McNair, who was the owner of the Houston Texans, was found, according to our own reporting at ESPN, to have said something in an owner's meeting about can't have the inmates running the prison. His team reacted very badly to that. Several players storming out of practice, and relationships obviously had to be repaired there. So, yes, you're absolutely right. If there are players on the Jets, Jamal Adams trying to get traded, so that's a different matter altogether. If there's players on the Jets or players who are considering going to the Jets, and this is a factor in their minds, it's very damaging for the team, yes.
Yeah, to be very clear, I don't know what he did and didn't say, and that it would be unfair for any of us to prejudge that, but I think that if he thinks that just putting that statement on Twitter puts an end to this story, he's got another thing coming. Meanwhile, as we get ourselves started, Marcus, I'll come back to you on that, I promise. I got to take a break. We'll come back to this a little later in the program. As we continue on Get Up, they haven't been in a Super Bowl since the days of Aikman and Emmett and Irvin. Can the Cowboys possibly return to glory? We'll talk about it. And he might be the greatest talent we ever saw. If he didn't win enough, whose fault is that? We'll answer that question and many more as we get rolling on this opening day. It's Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, where we're brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And back to the NFL. The Cowboys looking for their first NFC Championship appearance since the 90s. Did you know that 24 different teams have played in a conference championship game since the Cowboys last did at the end of the 1995 season? But with a stacked offense, and they're all young, the future seems bright for Dallas. Bright enough that when our ESPN panel of experts put together our future power rankings, meaning projections over the next three seasons, they put the Cowboys as having the fifth brightest future of any team, which of course raised a lot of eyebrows when you consider just how little success they've had. Stephen A. Smith in particular was perplexed by these rankings. And so it seemed to me, as we bring Rob Ninkovich into the conversation with Marcus and Dan today, a very simple way to judge whether they belong on that list or not is to frame the question this way. And Rob Ninkovich, I will start with you. In the next three seasons, because that's the length of time that the panel was using, will they break that string? Will the Dallas Cowboys play in the NFC Championship game in the next 3 years?
Yes, I think so. And I want to start with the first guy that I think is going to make a change, and that's Mike McCarthy and the head coach. Look, I think he had an unfair shake at the end there in Green Bay. It didn't work out. Then he comes to the Cowboys with a young roster, and you look at Dak, you know, backs against the wall on a franchise tag. He's going to come out swinging, trying to have a great season. Zeke kind of feels maybe a little bit disrespected that he's not getting the respect as maybe the number one running back in the NFL, so he's going to be also motivated this season. I think they're built to win now. You look at their offensive line, very strong D-line with Lawrence, linebackers strong with Vander Esch, Young. So I think they're built to win. You see Jerry Jones talking about he wants to win now. He doesn't know how much time he's got left to win again back the way they were in the 90s. So they want to win now. I think that they have a chance to do it maybe this year because a lot of guys are motivated and you got Mike McCarthy as your head coach.
All right, let me turn to my former Cowboy on the panel, Marcus Spears. Yes or no? Cowboys championship game the next 3 years?
No, G. And it's tough for me to say that because every year we pick the Cowboys to go deep into the playoffs. Here's my issue. Number one is defensively, this team is ranked 11th, 6th, and 13th. And you would look at that and conventionally say, man, that's not bad. But if you look at them against top-tier quarterbacks, they've struggled mightily. And that is my issue. Aaron Rodgers may not be in Green Bay. He may go to a better team that could possibly be in the NFC. Let's not forget that with what's going on with Jordan Love. Russell Wilson in Seattle getting better. And by the way, they just signed Greg Olsen. Tom Brady is in Tampa Bay. Drew Brees is still in New Orleans. We don't know what Matt Ryan and the Falcons are going to do. They can jump up. So it's not necessarily that the Cowboys aren't good enough. They just haven't proven that they can win those type of games to get to the NFC Championship. And I know 3 years is a long time, and I know it's drawn out, but defensively is where I think you have to come up big and make plays. I go back to the Patriots game, go back to the Jets game last year. Those were games for the defense to assert themselves. And people, look, I'm a defensive guy like Nink, and I look at this offense and it's prolific and these guys can play. They had all of those stats, all of those yards last year and went 8-8. So I got to give my boys some tough love and just say, no, I don't see it because they haven't shown that the past 3 years when they've been a very good team. Tyron Smith is getting older. Travis Frederick retired. There's a lot of things that they have to fix in order to go to an NFC championship in the next 3 years.
All right, so I have one yes vote. I have one no vote. Dan Graziano, break a tie.
Greeny, I'm voting yes for a couple reasons. One, it's a team that's always kind of right there, right? I mean, they've had only one losing season in their last nine, and they have a quarterback situation that right now, at least, is stable. We'll see how long Dak Prescott is there, but they believe he will be. And then the other thing, Greeny, like, it's not that hard. Like, I've covered the NFC Championship game 5 years in a row, and four of those years, it's been a complete blowout. You don't even remember the team that lost the NFC Championship game to the Carolina Panthers, to the Atlanta Falcons, which, by the way, it was a Mike McCarthy Packers team. So I'm saying the NFC Championship game, yes, they can get there because there have been some teams in that game recently that really weren't all that memorable. So even if you don't think much of the Dallas Cowboys over the next 3 years, I don't think it's crazy for a team that is always 500 or better to find a way to win a playoff game or two at some point and get into that game.
Here's the part of it I'm concerned about, and obviously this remains to be seen. But if they don't work out some sort of long-term extension with Dak Prescott, then all of a sudden keeping Dak Prescott becomes a financial burden, right? He's going to cost them a fortune and every penny of it against the cap, Graziano. So if it not this year, Ninkovich made the point, this is their year to do it. If not this year, do they get in trouble? Or are you telling me you believe he winds up working out an extension that's more cap-friendly?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I believe that he stays in Dallas. Yes, I think that is still their plan long term. Obviously, it depends a lot on whether it's his plan long term. And the ball is kind of in his court right now, given, as you mentioned, the significance of another franchise tag on their salary cap next year. But I do believe at this point that we can forecast Dak Prescott in Dallas for the foreseeable future.
As much as this going to make Dan Orlovsky happy, Carson Wentz is still going to be in the NFC East as well, and the Eagles and Doug Peterson over those next 3 years.
So the only person on our panel who doesn't believe in the Cowboys is Marcus Spears, who is touting the Eagles quarterback. This was a day I did not
see. Can't believe y'all put me in this situation.
All right, we will continue rolling here, see if we can't cheer Marcus up a little bit. Coming up, is it possible to have a list of the very best quarterbacks and leave the greatest of all time off it? It actually happened. We've got the reaction to that coming up on the way. And we have a little sneaky Hembo time. Buster's going to jump in here on opening day and try and answer this question. Which pitcher started the most opening day games? That's the question. The answer is coming up on an opening day edition. Get Up on ESPN. Finally, we've made it. A day that looked like it might never come. An opening day like none ever before. The starting line for a 60-game sprint to the postseason to decide baseball's best. And it all begins tonight as four teams take the field. Are we witnessing the start of a dynasty in D.C.? Well, the Nationals have their work cut out for them. Yes, they were able to overcome the loss of Bryce Harper. But now, Anthony Rendon is gone too. So who's going to lead the Nats offense?
Juan Soto hits it a ton.
He just looks like a superstar already.
The 21-year-old phenom is getting on base at a rate similar to Ted Williams, Mel Ott, and Jimmy Fox. Fancy company to keep. Combine his bat with perhaps the game's best pitching, the Nats may be able to relive the magic of 2019. The Yankees, on the other hand, will try to leave the 2019 postseason behind them, and they turn to their former foe to do just that, signing Gerrit Cole to a $324 million contract. But will 324 equal World Series number 28? Meanwhile, the Dodgers, hoping an offseason move of their own will bring them their first World Series since 88. They begin the year as the definitive NL favorite to make the impossible happen one more time. The Dodgers, arch rivals in San Francisco, are certainly hoping for brighter days after three straight losing seasons. An offseason filled with dollars and cents, tattoos and trash cans, trades, signings, and so many questions all begin to get answered tonight. The 2020 baseball season is here. Play ball. And no better way to start it than when sneaky Hembo trying to get one past Robert Stanberry Olney III. Buster, here's the question. Which pitcher started the most opening day games?
You know, there are better ways for me to start my day. I could go run around the monuments here in Washington. I could do things that make myself feel better about myself. But instead, I'm going to answer this question and say Roger Clemens and be wrong.
Roger Clemens is not a bad guess. He's three away, but it is wrong. The answer is Tom Seaver. Tom Seaver started 16 opening day games. 11 of them is 11 is a Met, 3 is a Red, 2 is a Chicago White Sox. Roger Clemens, 13. Jack Morris, Walter Johnson, Randy Johnson, Steve Carlton, 14. So all Hembo will remember, Buster, is that you got it wrong. But opening day is upon us. There's a bunch of storylines here. One of them is the Toronto Blue Jays, who are not going to play in Toronto this year, are now also not going to play in Pittsburgh this year. The state of Pennsylvania nixed that. So how are the Blue Jays going to handle home games in the season of 2020?
Yeah, Greeny, they are scrambling. Now, one potential option would be to play in Baltimore, but the same dynamic would be there as there was in playing in Toronto and in playing in Pittsburgh, and that the governor of Maryland may decide to nix that out of concern for the health of folks in his state. Another option would be play in Buffalo. their minor league affiliate. But the players have told the front office that's not something that they want to do. They prefer to play in major league parks. And the absolute worst case scenario, but it's a distinct possibility, is that they play their schedule, and play all the teams on their schedule. But when they would go to Yankee Stadium for some games or to Fenway Park, they would play as the home team, which would mean they would be on the road for 66 straight days.
They literally would not have a single quote unquote home game, even though they would have the home team rules in their favor, but they would play all of their games as the visitor, or at least in visiting ballpark. So it's certainly something we've never seen before, but I guess, and as I've said many times, in a pandemic, you do what you have to do. Meanwhile, baseball and the Players Association, and I was following this on your Twitter yesterday, are talking about expanding the postseason from 10 teams to 16 teams this year. There's obviously a clock ticking down to the first game tonight. Where do we stand with this?
Yeah, the expectation is this is going to get done. They talked about this when they were having their financial scrap during the summertime. They didn't reach an agreement then, but it makes too much sense for both sides. At a time when they're trying to find ways to increase revenue in a year in which so much money has been lost. And you talk about a potential excitement in those first days of the playoffs, because if you have 16 teams, and in all likelihood, the first round would be best of three matches between the eight teams in each league. Imagine an eight seed against the one seed. Teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers would be playing for their lives right off the bat.
Yeah, absolutely. Is this something they have to, if they're going to do it, do they absolutely have to do it before the first pitch of the season tonight?
Yeah, in theory. I mean, look, these are two sides that could always break their own rules and rewrite it as they go. But the aim is to get it done before the start of the game tonight.
All right, so keep a close eye on this. This could be, should have huge news at some point during this day. And then speaking of huge news, what was the reaction you heard around the sport yesterday to the Mookie Betts contract that comes down the day before the start of the season, a $365 million extension?
Greeny, people with other teams were absolutely shocked by the timing of this, given what's going on with COVID, given the fact that they don't even know when there's a vaccine that's going to come in. They don't know when fans are going to be in the stands. And so there was a surprise that the Dodgers spent this kind of money at a time when there's so much uncertainty. Look, Mookie Betts is a respected player. Everyone knows why the Dodgers want to keep him. But the expectation had been among other teams that they would wait and play it out into the offseason. And the thought is that maybe they were far down the road in terms of talking about an extension when COVID shut down the sport.
All right, one way or another, he's now got the second biggest contract in the sport. Buster, only do a rain dance. We need baseball tonight. I know there's major questions about whether we need these games tonight, and we will see them here on ESPN. Max Scherzer and Gerrit Cole tonight, Nationals, Yankees. Buster will be a part of the broadcast. That's at 7 Eastern, followed by Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers hosting the Giants, 10 Eastern. Both games are here on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Back to the NFL. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. He has 113 career wins, second only to Brett Favre in Green Bay history, third in the league since he became the team's starting quarterback in 2008. Under Rodgers, the Packers won 15 games in 2011. That was their most in team history. He led them to 13 wins last season, which was tied for their second most all time. And of course, Rodgers did lead the Packers to a Super Bowl 45 win against the Steelers. At the time, that gave Green Bay its fourth Super Bowl win, its first since the 96 season. They won one with Favre. They've won one with Aaron Rodgers, and only that one. And despite having just the single Super Bowl appearance, Pro Football Focus graded Aaron Rodgers as the best playoff quarterback of the last decade, just barely beating out Patrick Mahomes. Now, this was a list that came out the other day. I just take a moment and look at it here before we take it off the screen. Rodgers, Mahomes, Nick Foles, Eli Manning, Russell Wilson. So just sort of put that in the back of your mind, because there's one name that is very obviously not there that we're going to talk about a little later in the conversation. But I want to start with this notion of Rodgers, because we brought this up a little bit yesterday, and I've tried to bring it up a number of times, and we've never really been able to dive into it. I'm going to do it now. Rob Ninkovich, you're talking about Pro Football Focus telling us that Aaron Rodgers was the best playoff quarterback of the decade. Almost any of us who watch the sport will say he is as talented as any quarterback maybe that we've ever seen. So the question is, to have made it to just one Super Bowl with him, would you consider that an underachievement by the Packers?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, if he is the, according to Pro Football Focus, the number one quarterback in the postseason, you would think that they'd have more than one Super Bowl appearance. I mean, think back to 2014 onside kick. The Patriots should have been playing the Packers instead of the Seahawks. So, you know, you can't blame it all on Rodgers, but I think that the organization should definitely have had more than one appearance in the Super Bowl since Rodgers has taken over. So, yeah, definitely. I think that they should have one Super Bowl, they should have 2-3 at least appearances. So they've definitely underachieved with the talent of Aaron Rodgers. Yes.
Yes. We could have a different discussion about whether how much of the blame goes on Rodgers himself and how much of it goes elsewhere. But generally speaking, Marcus Spears, when you have a quarterback that good for this long, and I would even add to it, they had Brett Favre before that. They've basically had first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback play for the last 30 years. They've made 3 Super Bowls in that time and won 2 of them. Do you consider that an underachievement?
Hell yeah. And it's not even close. Listen, when Aaron Rodgers, think about this right now, this climate that we're in with Patrick Mahomes. Didn't we say all this about Aaron Rodgers? Didn't we say Aaron Rodgers would win multiple Super Bowls in Green Bay as long as they kept people around him? I remember playing some of those Green Bay teams with the great defenses with Matthews and B.J. Raji and all of those guys on the back end. Woodson was there. Like, that one team got it done. So it's not like Green Bay hasn't had guys around Aaron Rodgers at all times. They haven't done a lot of things that you probably should do when you have a talent like Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, underachieving, that is at the baseline of what Green Bay problems have been. I mean, people had this conversation, to your point, G, about Brett Favre as well. Like, shouldn't we have won more with some of those teams, with Donald Driver and all of those guys that he had as well throughout his tenure? But when you look at Aaron Rodgers' ability to play this game at the high level like he does at quarterback, this is what every franchise is looking for. Every franchise wants a guy they feel like they can win a Super Bowl with every year. And Green Bay has had that for a number of years and couldn't get it done but once.
Very quickly, before I bring Graziano in here, because I think he's going to take a different position. But Marcus, you played in the NFL a long time. You played defense. You played against a lot of great quarterbacks. And Brady is the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. That's not debatable. But was Aaron Rodgers the best quarterback you ever played against? How would you describe what it was like playing against him?
No question. Best quarterback I ever played against and best quarterback I've seen in person, because I haven't seen Patrick Mahomes in person lined up across the line of scrimmage for me. His ability to run, his ability to throw the ball in any type of window, and just his improvisation. You know, when I was playing Aaron Rodgers, he was outrunning linebackers and secondary guys to pick up yardage when plays broke down. And like all of these things that we see from Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers was doing that. It's not that much of a difference between what Aaron Rodgers had the ability to do on the field as opposed to what we're seeing Patrick Mahomes do right now. The game was different, but listen, he's the best I ever saw across the line of scrimmage.
All right, Graziano, do you agree with this idea that it has been an organizational underachievement to have only made it to one Super Bowl with a quarterback this good this long?
I don't agree, Greeny, and frankly, I'm disappointed that I'm on a show with two distinguished former NFL players, and I have to be the one to make the point that it's really hard to get to the Super Bowl. The Tom Brady, Rob Ninkovich, New England Patriots have ruined it for everyone because they're the only team that was able to consistently get to multiple Super Bowls and win multiple Super Bowls. Did the Colts underachieve with Peyton Manning because they only won it once? Have the Seahawks underachieved with Russell Wilson because they only won it once? I mean, look, these are great players and great quarterbacks, but the fact is, you cannot engineer a roster build in the offseason that ensures a Super Bowl title. All you can do is build a team that consistently wins, consistently gets to the playoffs. That's what the Packers have been. Rodgers has been in the NFC Championship game four times. Somebody referenced the missed onsides. I mean, this is the kind of, the playoffs are a casino. If you go play roulette for the whole night, and you keep betting on red, and it keeps turning up black over and over again like 15 times in a row. Did red underachieve? No, you just got some bad breaks. So I think it's foolish to say they underachieved when you're looking at a team that has been to the playoffs as much as they have.
I really disagree with that, and I know that Marcus does too. Go ahead, Swagoo.
Groz, you yeah. In your heart of hearts, you don't believe that. Just please tell me you don't believe that. In your heart
that you
of
need
hearts.
Some breaks to win in the playoffs?
Not that you need some breaks.
Come on,
but
Groz,
did you look at the great?
On. If somebody told you.
Go ahead, Swagger.
Go ahead, G.
In my heart of hearts, I believe
Here's
that.
What I'm going to say. I'm going to say when you look at the all-time great quarterbacks, and Rodgers to me is as good as any of them, they make it to the Super Bowl a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what these guys do. It is so noticeable that Marino didn't because the rest of them did. John Elway got to the Super Bowl repeatedly. The great quarterbacks, if you just go back through the history of the sport, the great quarterbacks, well, there's a big difference between 4-1. You're holding up four fingers. I think Elway actually got there five times. I think he lost three and then won the two at the very end. I think if you have quarterbacks like Peyton Manning into Andrew Luck, it is disappointing not to get there more than one time. Go ahead, Swagoo.
How many times did Peyton go with the Broncos?
Two.
Okay.
Two.
So he went to another team in that period of no longer playing with the Colts and technically underachieving because he was there for so long. He went to Denver and went to two. And were you telling me Aaron Rodgers been there this long and he's been the one and that's not underachieving? Russell Wilson been the two. Even though he lost one.
Two.
And he shouldn't have lost that one if they hand the damn ball off to Marshawn Lynch. But he's been the two. Like, Carson Wentz, for all intents and purposes, has been to a Super Bowl.
Carson Wentz.
Mahomes has almost been the two had it not for been a guy lining up all sides. Come on, guys. One Super Bowl
Aaron
for Aaron Rodgers in all of
four.
These years
I mean,
is an underachievement.
All right, we'll leave that one there.
Almost.
I do want to get one moment, however. We're going to have to agree to disagree on this. We got to get one moment in, if we can, for our friend Mr. Ninkovich on the elephant in the room. The list is in. I don't know exactly what to say about a list that grades the best postseason quarterbacks of a decade that does not include Rob Ninkovich, your former teammate Tom Brady, who owned the decade of the 2010s and won multiple Super Bowls and made it every year, made the playoffs every single year. What do you think of the fact that Brady is not in the top five?
Nine Super Bowl appearances, six wins. I mean, does that even make sense? The most highest winning percentage, wins, yards, touchdown passes. Does it make sense? I don't think so.
It certainly doesn't. And again, this only takes into account the decade of the 2010s. So it's not all of those Super Bowl appearances. It's not all of the championships. But there was a run during this decade in which he made the Super Bowl three consecutive times, won two of them. And the one that he didn't win, he threw for 500 yards and his team never punted. So it's very hard to suggest he was the reason that they didn't beat the Eagles that year. So I don't know. I like Pro Football Focus a lot, and I find a lot of what they do fascinating. But I need an explanation, Ninkovich. We need an explanation of how Brady is not in the top five postseason quarterbacks of the decade, but Nick Foles and Eli Manning are. All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. As we continue, coming up, would Patrick Mahomes struggle if he switched places with Lamar Jackson? Ninkovich said something that made Marcus Spears' head explode. We're going to let them discuss this as we continue next, and much more on opening day. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Put Pat Mahomes on the Ravens and Lamar Jackson on the Kansas City Chiefs. Lamar Jackson would be back-to-back MVPs.
You out of your damn mind.
Pat Mahomes would struggle in the Ravens offense.
This should never have been a part of Swaggoo Says. This was Rob's plan to have this on Swaggoo Says.
Swaggoo and Ninkovich together tomorrow on Get Up. That should be a lot of fun. And tomorrow is now today, and let's see if it will be fun. So here we have these two dear friends who clearly have a disagreement. So the other day, and you saw it there, Rob Ninkovich suggested that if you flip-flop Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, contrary to conventional wisdom, it would be Mahomes and not Jackson who would struggle. Marcus, what's your reaction to that?
First of all, I don't know what to say. I think Rob did this because he know me, and he know that I'm going to lose my mind when people say things like that. First of all, Rob, let's go football, right? We would not see the same offense in Baltimore if Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback. So it ain't as simple as flip-flopping them and the same things are happening. I don't think Lamar Jackson would struggle at all in Kansas City's offense or if Andy Reid created something around him. But Lamar Jackson don't need his legs in Kansas City offense as much as he needs in the Ravens offense and what Greg has done over there. I have no idea, okay? After watching 2 years of what Patrick Mahomes has done and 2 years of Lamar Jackson has done, you cannot say these guys can flip-flop and be the same player. Patrick Mahomes is a different animal throwing the ball. He is far ahead of Lamar Jackson when it comes to that. You can give me stats, you can give me numbers, all of that. When we watch Patrick Mahomes throw the football, it's on a level unlike we've ever seen. That does not mean Lamar can't throw the football, and vice versa. When Lamar takes off and runs, there has never been a Lamar Jackson ever athletically at the quarterback position. But flip-flopping those guys, Rob, you out of your damn mind.
Go ahead, Ninkovich.
Marcus, is Kansas City's offensive skill position better? True, false. Is Kansas City's offensive skill positions better than the Ravens? Yes. Would Lamar Jackson excel with the offensive weapons in Kansas City? Would?
Yep.
Would Lamar? Yes, he would. Now, if you take Pat Mahomes and put him with the Ravens, would they have the same offense? No, they'd have a different offense. But would he have the same weapons to throw to that he has in Kansas City? He doesn't have Tyreek Hill with the Ravens. He doesn't have Travis Kelce with the Ravens. So what I'm saying, in Kansas City, if you put a quarterback like Lamar who can move in the pocket, who can get out of trouble and throw the ball down the field, because let's not get it twisted now, he can throw the football, and I think this year he's going to throw the ball down the field even more and be even smarter in the pocket and get out of situations with his legs and throw the ball down the field. So what I said was, look, if we switch these guys and we put this quarterback, we put Pat Mahomes on the Ravens and you take Lamar, you put him with Kansas City, that I think Lamar would take those weapons in Kansas City and be the MVP two times in a row. That's what I think.
Final words, Marcus.
Quick question. Do you think Patrick Mahomes in that offense with the Ravens lose to the Titans last year?
Yeah, because the Titans were running the football all over him. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. It took you too long, Rob.
I thought you had him.
It took you too long.
Marcus, I thought you had him. Ninkovich really handled himself well through this whole thing, and I thought you had him. It was like that moment at the end of a legal drama where the lawyer asks the question and the guy falls apart on the stand. For a second there, I thought Ninkovich couldn't handle the truth. All right, well done. Meanwhile, let me get up and go through some other notes on this day. Well done, guys. Get up and go. Russell Westbrook says he's, quote, thankful and blessed after participating in his first practice yesterday since recovering from the coronavirus. It's not been determined yet whether he will play in the Rockets scrimmage on Friday, but he is in the bubble and he is doing better. Meanwhile, the Pelicans announced that there is still no timetable for Zion Williamson to return to the bubble. However, he, quote, fully intends to rejoin the team. He's been getting tested daily for COVID-19 while outside the bubble. Rachel Nichols, Jalen Rose in our next hour on all these NBA notes. And then baseball, Mike Trout initially hesitant about the plans to stage a season, now expressing optimism with the opener approaching, saying, quote, I'm playing. His wife, Jessica, is due to give birth to their first child on August 3rd. but he says he's playing as the season gets underway. Meanwhile, today on ESPN, our Serie A coverage continues with Lazio hosting Cagliari. That's coverage today starting 3:30 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, coming up, a bold prediction on Dak Prescott that, if it's true, will change the landscape of the NFL for a very long time. And you know what? I think it is. You'll hear it in the next hour. Let's get up on ESPN.